Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We're so thankful that you've tuned in, and it is so good to be with you here on this Friday before Christmas. And what a glorious, glorious time to be alive and to be a Christian. And we're so thankful that you're with us today. We are privileged to have in studio with us Pastor Al Davis. So welcome, Brother Al.
Welcome, Brother John. Good to be with you today. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for being with us. And we, as was mentioned last week, we thought we'd do a show together and talk about some things about Christmas and maybe some somewhat controversial, I guess. Maybe that's a strong word, but some areas that oftentimes are a lot of questions, but maybe just don't do the research or let others do research and go off what they say about some areas regarding Christmas. But we certainly want to wish each and every person listening today a Merry Christmas with you and your family. Let me take a brief moment real quick and let you know that we are going to have the phone lines open as we talk about a couple of different topics today. So if you'd like to get on the radio with us, you can call the local number here at 1220 AM The Word, 216-901-0933, or you can call the toll-free number at 888-677-9673. Again, that's 888-677-9673. And we'd like to invite you to come on out. I know Brother Al's got, I think, same service times, right? 11 and 6?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, 11 and 6. And, of course, his is the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Why don't you tell us where it is there, Brother?
We're located in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80 cross.
Okay. So if you're out that way, need a good church to head on out to, go to Brother Al's church over there. And then we're up in Lakewood. We're at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood, Ohio, 44107. And we'd love to have you come on out. I know, Brother Al, you're doing a candlelight service as well Sunday night, correct?
Right, at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and as ours as well at 6 o'clock in Lakewood there. So we'd love to invite you to come on out and be a part of what God wants to do. It's always a special time to be at church. My wife says, you know, everyone's focused on the candlelight. Remind people that we have church Sunday morning. So we'll be there at 11 o'clock.
Too.
So we already have a church 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve on normal Sunday services. So I hope that you'll come on out. Well, Brother Al, we're going to go ahead and get in in our study today. We've got three different topics we'd like to try to get through. So again, if you want to get involved in the conversation, we're going to try and stay on topic with this. But the first thing we're going to talk about, Brother Al, is Jeremiah chapter 10. And in this passage, it says, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not." Well, this is a somewhat controversial type of set of verses, because over the years, many have looked at that verse and said, well, these are verses that strictly and clearly make it clear that we shouldn't have Christmas trees in any type of celebration whatsoever of Christmas. And so, Brother Al, I'm going to pick your brain on this a little bit, or at least get your thoughts on what do you think about that?
Well, absolutely, you're correct. This is a very controversial. I remember earlier on when I was actually stationed over in England, I had rededicated my life to the Lord, and I was really exploring the Bible. I had gotten saved at a young age, but I was in my mid-20s, and I was really exploring the Bible. And I remember looking at this, and I encountered some people at that time that said, "Why, if you're a Christian, you can't have a Christmas tree right here it is. The Bible says that, look, here's a tree. They fasten it with nails that it doesn't move. And then they deck it with silver and gold. And what do you put on the Christmas tree? You know, silver and gold decorations.
There's
and,
a Christmas song. Silver and gold.
Yeah. I'll let you sing it. It's better than me.
But, I don't know about that. But
the idea is that this seems, I even read somebody that said that this was a prophecy. Because absolutely nobody celebrated Christmas in Jeremiah's day.
Right.
I mean, we know that.
Yeah, we know that for a fact.
Well before the birth of Christ. So
okay.
Nobody celebrated Christmas. So they said this was a clear prophecy of the coming distortion, I guess you could say, of the birth of Christ with this. But when you look at this in context, I believe this is talking about making an idol. Because in Jeremiah, if you look at this in Jeremiah where this occurs, Israel is being they're talking about the problems that are going on in Israel and the surrounding nations. And in this, there's this warning against making idols like the surrounding nations do.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of a parenthesis here, because he's saying to the Hebrews here, the Jews, as we read in Jeremiah 10, verse 1, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." And so he's saying, learn not the way of the heathen. And then he goes into this description of the way they fashion idols. And when you compare scripture with scripture and you go over to some of the other passages talking about fashioning the idols, you can look in, for instance, Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 19, this gives us an idea of what we're talking about when they plated it with the silver and the gold.
Right.
It says in verse 19 here, Isaiah 40, verse 19, "The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains." And this is the idea here. In fact, look at verse 20. "He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot." That would be like a lot of some of the evergreens that they would have had. And so "he seeketh unto him a cunning workman that prepare a graven image that shall not be moved." See the echoing, the fastening
so
it doesn't move. And so when you look in Jeremiah chapter 10, where it talks about decking it with silver and gold and fastening with nails, the idea there, and especially if you read further down there, it talks about idols that can't speak, idols that can't hear.
Right.
The idea is they took the tree, they cut it down. I think it's Isaiah chapter 40 talks about a guy plants a tree, he cuts it down, he uses part of it to burn to make
a
fire.
Isaiah 44, yeah. That's actually,
yeah.
I have sitting right here. I was going to read that. Because he talks about the carpenter stretcheth out his rule, he marketh it out with a line, he fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take it thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereunto. So, yeah, Isaiah, I think, is very clear showing that that was a custom of the heathen, of the nations around them, that they made their idols, their false gods, out of these trees.
Yeah, a log, basically.
A log, yeah. I mean, this wasn't like they left the branches
on. No, they cut the branches off. He used the plane, which would straighten and smooth it out. And then they fashioned it into a graven image. Remember the commandment, not having any graven images, bowing down and worshiping them. And I think that's the second or third commandment.
Yes.
And then They plated it. Literally, they hammered the gold all around on it and covered it so it looked like it was solid gold. And then they used the silver chains and such to help secure it. And,
yeah.
And they fastened it so that they wouldn't move. I always thought of the humor of that. He plants the tree, he cuts it down, burns part of it to make a fire to keep himself warm and bake some bread. And then the chunk of it that doesn't burn, he turns it into an idol and says, "You're my God that made me." I mean, it's just, it is, makes no sense.
It is. It's crazy. But I think it shows how extreme we can get in some of the beliefs, that we can take things to extremes. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we would agree that if somebody puts any type of tree up in their house and they're bowing down and worshiping the tree,
absolutely,
it'd probably be best for them not to do that, because that obviously shows a different intent. Mm-hmm. But the average person and the majority of the people listening today are not bowing down worshiping. In fact, those who have natural trees, real trees, they're going to throw them out afterwards. So I guess they only have a God for a couple weeks, and then they just throw it out because that God really didn't mean anything. And I think, again, it's certain extremes we can go to. Brother Al, looks like we got a phone call here.
I believe we do.
About this. So it looks like Frank's with us today. So, Frank, how are you?
Good. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
You had something you wanted to add about the Christmas tree?
Yeah, well, that was much ado about nothing. I worship the maker of the tree. I'm not a heathen. God was talking about heathens doing that. The tree symbolizes everlasting life.
Right.
You have a star on top of it, the Star of Bethlehem. It's all about Jesus. And so you're going to make it something that it isn't, so you can prove some kind of point. I don't even know why you celebrate Christmas. Oh, because the Catholic Church tells you to, so you have to. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. It's funny how Frank had to lie to get on, because that was actually Kevin.
I knew that as soon as he started talking. Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
but
way to get on there, Frank, Kevin, whatever you want to call yourself today.
The reference that we needed the Catholic Church to tell us to celebrate Christmas is kind of foolish, because Catholic Church didn't come into existence until about the 4th century.
Yeah.
And when you read some of the writings of the early church fathers, as we call them, from the 2nd and 3rd centuries even, there's people where they were observing the birth of Christ even back then. They did not have perhaps the Christmas celebrations that we have today.
Yeah.
And certainly the Christmas celebrations, the devil is known for taking anything that's good and turning it into evil, isn't he?
Yeah, he sure is. And it was funny, because I was just reading an article before we came this morning about a Colombian priest who outlawed any type of Christmas celebration, Christmas decorations or anything in the Catholic parish that they were a part of. So again, it's there's a lot of ideas, a lot of beliefs about it. We're just trying to look at the scripture here, and we're just trying to say we're not telling people not to have trees. I kind of got the sense that that's where that call went. Like, we're trying to set up some argument to do away with trees, but I've got one in my home. We've got them in the church. I mean, they're decorative, and they're going to go down here in probably the next week. And, they add to some of the festive colors and those type of things. And we're just trying to bring a little sense about that. It looks like we got another call here on this issue. And so we've got Jeremiah with us today. So hello, Jeremiah.
Oh, Christmas tree's a song.
Yeah, there is the German song, O Tannenbaum, which is translated O Christmas Tree.
That's right. So what do you got for us, Jeremiah, and about Bible and trees here? I see that you got something you wanted to add there?
Yeah, pop quiz. How many times does it say in a Bible about trees?
Well, if you'll give me a moment, I can run through the concordance.
Do you have the answer for us?
I don't have the Bible with me, unfortunately.
Well, it would take a while to go through and count up probably all the times that it does talk about it. But this is probably the only area where it talks about necessarily in the prophetical books about the customs of the heathens, how they were using the trees. Again, leftover parts, they would use them for practical purposes, but then they would certainly use them for spiritual purposes, their own falsehoods in making gods and decking them with silver and gold and setting them up And again, so there was that falsehood about it. So, but there's probably many times it talks about trees. I mean, cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. Talks about Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus,
I mean,
on the cross, the tree.
Yeah, so I don't know that we'd have an answer for you there, Jeremiah, but it looks like Brother Al's got something here.
Well, I was going to say there's a lot of references to trees, some positive, some negative, and obviously the reference to Israel in regards to the fig tree budding is prophetic significance.
The olive tree.
The olive tree is very big thing in Scripture.
Tree of life.
The tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In fact, the first time trees are mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1 in the creation week, the tree bearing seed, fruit yielding seed, and then the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
Then we see the tree of life in heaven and all that. But the idea, though, when you substitute a tree for Christ, then it does become an idol.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Jeremiah was warning of here, where we're looking at tying in with Isaiah chapter 40 and chapter 44, where they were worshiping, like Paul said in the book of Romans, worshiping the creature more than the creator.
Yeah, and that's where the problem is. And again, you could argue, well, what about all these other material things? Of course, it's anything that takes away the affection and the attention that belongs to the Lord becomes an idol unto us. That's why John, the Apostle John, wrote often, flee idolatry, flee the idols. Don't allow anything to get its talons in you, because it could be many different things. I mean, there's people with drug addictions. That's a form of worship. I mean, it's become a god unto them. And so there's many different things. So, well, maybe we can work up an answer for you sometime, Jeremiah, on that, but you'll have to keep listening, all right?
Yeah, you're supposed to worship God, not trees.
Right.
Well, you're right. Well,
Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas.
Merry
Thanks,
Christmas,
Jeremiah. Thanks for calling in. All right, well, hey, let's shift gears here a little bit. Now, the next two topics we're going to talk about, and we'll start real quick on this one, but I just want to give a heads up. There's some controversy, which we're going to talk about during your show, Brother Al, is about the throne of David. And,
right.
And is Christ going to sit on the throne of David? What does it mean? And we're going to talk about that, because the prophecies of the Old Testament do indicate he's going to be raised up to sit on the throne of David. So we're going to look at that, try to make some sense of that. But one of the other things we were talking about, which comes up often this time of year, is should we be celebrating Christmas during this time, December 25th and those type of things? And I know we're not going to dive into it real, real deep in behind that, but we were talking a little bit about that, and maybe we can make some sense as to why it is potential. One of the things we always hear is, well, they wouldn't have had the sheep out in that time of year if it would have been in December. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of things. And kind of tying in, maybe coming from a more broad thing before we focus on exactly that, the first thing you had said about whether we should be celebrating Christmas or not, is sort of as the broad topic, as we had talked earlier, in some places, you mentioned that one priest that banned the celebration of Christmas, and there were times where it was banned. The New England colonies, for instance, back in the early days of the founding of our country, the celebration of Christmas was actually banned because, remember, it was the Puritans that had founded some of the early colonies in New England, in Massachusetts, for instance, things like that. And you had this stronger, more conservative, puritanical, I guess you could say, Christian ethic that was in the New England colonies more so than in the South. And they actually banned the celebration of Christmas because by that time it had become a drunken feast. And it had been taken over, in a sense, from the celebration of the birth of Christ, which it should be, to corrupted by the pagan feast of, well, there's Saturnalia and others, which were just excuses to drink and licentious behavior and drinking. That's just an excuse for it.
Right.
And so that had replace the worship of Christ, which, as I had said earlier, actually can go back to the second and third centuries, where there's some evidence that they did in the early church at least remember the birth of Christ. Hippolytus, he lived from 180 to 236. He actually came up with a December 25th date for the birth of Christ, and so they were obviously talking about the birth of Christ because the birth of Christ is so significant. But I had mentioned earlier that George Washington crossed the Delaware in order to surprise the British on Christmas Eve because the British were observing the drunken feasts.
Yeah,
and so they were all either drunk or hungover or asleep when he arrived in a sneak attack, which was a turning point, of course, in the Revolutionary War. But we're not talking about a drunken feast here. We're talking about the birth of Christ. And was he born on December 25th or thereabouts, or does it matter? I think I've gotten away a little bit from your question,
no.
Too.
I think we talked about it earlier, too, is I think sometimes Do things matter? Yes, they do matter for the sake of truth, but I think we have to prioritize the importance of some of the facts that we're given. You know, you can split hairs on things, spend the time doing it, but what have you produced? What prosperity is there? You know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, and so yeah, God's put it within us to learn and to grow and seek after knowledge and wisdom. You know, Solomon tells us he did that, but he set his heart upon to know all the things of the world under the sun, and that's why he had such misery in those things. So we know we can pursue after the wrong things and pursue in the wrong direction. So we have to really examine, you know, how essential is it? You know, if we decided, I'm going to do this in March, you know, isn't it the intent is really, am I honoring the Lord? You know, if we could walk in today, take the trees away, take the presents away, take all the decorations away, and it wouldn't affect my life one bit, then we're probably pretty pure in what we're involving ourselves
that
with.
That sounds, yeah.
You know, if I'm going to get upset because, well, wait a minute, we're not going to do this, and this, it's probably got too great of a hold on me anyway. And so so we really got to look at, you know, how do we prioritize this? Again, you can go to, with today's access to information, you could go and find, 10 different things of why we should or shouldn't do it on December 25th, and everybody's got their ideas of why they should do it that way or shouldn't do it that way. So we got to be careful as we pursue this. Now, listen, we're just about out of time. We've got about a minute and a half left or so. So we want you to stick around with us. And Brother Al, thanks for being with us today. And I know I'm going to stay after for the next show on your show. We're going to talk about some more, maybe a little bit about this, and then get into how the prophecies about the throne of David. And so appreciate those who have called in. If you're going to have any questions, again, we'll pick that up on the after the break here. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this December 25th thing. We're going to talk a little bit about the throne of David. And see if we can nail some of that down and learn about that. Listen, this time of year brings a lot of emotions. And I know it's difficult for many this time of year because of that. And, you know, the church house is a great place to head to where you're going to hear the Word of God preached and find hope once again. You know, the whole birth of Christ is about hope. Sure, there were many promises that came along, joy and peace and those things. But it's because of the hope. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Gives you hope for a new start, a new beginning, and you can call upon Christ and have that beginning once again today. So I want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We're going to be back right after the break and continue on our discussion.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.